And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, about a year ago, I was led by the Holy Ghost to give a message here at Power of Prophecy entitled The Mysteries of God That Can Change Your Life. The Mysteries of God. It's very fascinating to me that Jesus told his disciples of mysteries that unless you've been chosen to be one of Jesus' disciples, you cannot understand. There are many people who I have met who call themselves Christians, and they have highfalutin titles. You know, when I taught at the University of Texas and other universities, I met men who claimed to be Christian. They had doctorates. Some were doctors of religion or theology or divinity. And they had no discernment whatsoever. And they could not understand the deeper things, the mysteries of God. Well, today we're going to talk about one of the great mysteries of God. And I'm quite sure that there are some of you, just a few, because by now, you've probably gone on to other pastures, let's just say. Because those who have left us were never of us, as the Bible says, because they are too fearful to really understand the things of God. It's easier, more comfortable, more cozy in this world to believe what the world tells you. But if you want to know about a mystery today, a mystery that, if it hasn't already done so, will change your life in a magnificent and wonderful way, I hope you'll stay tuned. I'm going to talk today about Jews, about Israel, but more than that, I'm going to talk about the Christian church and you and me, even America, because what I'm going to talk to you about today has great importance. It reveals what is going on in the Middle East today. Why we're in Iraq. What's happening in Iran. Why Israel invaded Gaza, and why they continue to oppress the Palestinian people. It seems that all of human history is wrapped up in the mystery that we're going to talk about. It involves the mystery of the kingdom. A lot of people believe they know what the kingdom of God is. But it only takes me about 60 seconds in talking to a man or a woman to discern whether they know what they're talking about. Whether they really know what the kingdom of God is. Jesus says the kingdom does not come with observation. So if a man tells me he's visited a place, or he believes that by seeing any part of this earth, or even the cosmos through a telescope, that he's seen the kingdom of God, I know he's a pretender. He's not a man or a woman of faith. Because people who are truly of faith are able to understand this mystery that the kingdom of God does not come by observation. But there is a kingdom today that's being built. In fact, there have always, since the beginning of time, since Nimrod and his queen Semiramis in Babylon built the great Tower of Babel, the kingdom builders have come forth to build a kingdom right here on this planet. I believe one of the reasons why we're involved in a space program adventuring into outer space and visiting Venus and Mars and the moon is because we want a kingdom for man. We will build our nest in the stars. We will become bird gods, I guess you could say. Star gods. And you know, the search or the striving to build a kingdom has meant millions of people have suffered and died. They've been slaughtered by the kingdom builders. Throughout history, you can see what has occurred. The Roman Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Ottoman Empire. Even in the last few centuries, we've seen Hitler's desire to build an empire, and the Emperor of Japan, and we see incredible things with the communists who wanted to build a world empire of socialism. Empire builders are always bloody, evil killers. It's always been so because it's Satan who offers a worldly kingdom. Now listen to what I just said. It's always been Satan who has offered a worldly kingdom, and God has never cared one flip for this earth. He loves the people in it. I believe he loves even the animals in it. God just loves life. But all those who seek a kingdom seek something outside the realm of the Spirit of God. They know not of the mystery of the kingdom of God, and they seek to build a material, worldly kingdom to be part of it, and thus they must exalt a certain people or race or nation or group, or they have to fall in line to a Napoleon or a Hitler or a Lenin and Stalin and become their servants, their stooges, their disciples rather than God's. This is always the end result of a kingdom. Death, death, misery, suffering always follows the attempt to set up a human kingdom. It's built on dead human bodies. It becomes the kingdom of the dead. And even if a man could build a kingdom on earth, then comes the time when he has to leave. The king who has built that kingdom, Alexander the Great, and all the others, eventually their time comes. They're on their deathbed. And they can't take the earthly kingdom with them. They can't even take one fingernail of their body with them to the next place they're going. Their whole striving for a kingdom is lost. Mao Zedong has none of China. He doesn't even have one corpuscle of his body that he's taken with him to the other side. For what was the death of up to 100 million Chinese people to bring in the Red Revolution of Mao Zedong? It was for nothing. It's not lasting. Sometimes it doesn't even last one generation. People brag today that the Roman Empire lasted 1,000 years. How long will America's empire last? What is its meaning? Nothing in the long stretch of time. And yet God warns us of this, but no one seems to pay any attention. Everywhere the Bible is the record of man striving to build a kingdom. Some say, well, the only kingdom then really is the kingdom of Israel over in the Middle East. A kingdom that will encompass this whole world, right? Someday? Ah. Ha ha ha. You've just fallen into the trap. You've just said what God wants to do is build a human kingdom. Oh, now you can tell me, well, he'll still be in charge of it, and maybe Jesus will even come down in human form and rule over it. Friends, any way you look at it, it's a human kingdom. It's interesting to me, though, that Paul said Abraham and the fathers were not interested. Listen to this. They were not interested at all in a human kingdom. Abraham did not seek a human kingdom. Some people believe he did. But they're wrong. Never did the great prophets seek a human kingdom, because they knew they were just traveling through, sojourners. The Bible says that Abraham looked for another kingdom. Not possible here on earth. He looked to the heavens for his kingdom. And the book of Revelation paints a picture of a great, great kingdom. And it even gives the name Jerusalem to it, but it's not the old earthly Jerusalem, it's the new heavenly Jerusalem. But what of the kingdom of Israel that's on earth in the latter days? Will not God restore it? See, if you think that's the way it's going to be, my friends, you don't know what Zion is. You don't know what the Israel of God is. You don't know who your king is. He's not your king. There is a king who will come up out of the pit. Abaddon. Apollyon. And he has the key to open up the dungeon and bring forth his warriors, and they will set up, maybe they're already in the process of doing it, they will set up their kingdom. And that kingdom, God has a name for. It's called Sodom and Egypt. And the reason God calls it that is he brings forth from human history the two great human kingdoms from which all the kingdom builders have emulated, have sought to build on that pattern. Of course, God also calls it Babylon the Great. Mystery Babylon, however. But then he goes more specific. Not only is it Babylon, it's Sodom and Egypt. And you'll find out about it in Revelation 11, verse 8. There in Revelation chapter 11, God tells us, he instructs us, about the two witnesses who are to come. Who are the two witnesses? Well, I'm not going to discuss that today. I'll tell you, it is a fabulous, wonderful message. But I want you to know that those two witnesses have power literally to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They have power over the waters to turn them to blood. And they will smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. The two witnesses in the last days. But when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And this happens in a certain city. God calls it a great city. Revelation 18 says it has power over all of the nations on earth. And in the streets of that great city, the two witnesses lie. The beast that has come up now out of the bottomless pit, whose name is Apollyon, Abaddon, Satan. He's killed the two witnesses. And there their dead bodies lie. Oh, they did their job. They finished their testimony. That's the only thing you and I have to do. Did you know that's your only mission? Forget about Rick Warren's purpose-driven life. Let me tell you what your purpose is. Your purpose is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's your testimony. And he's given you the power to impart your testimony by his blood. You have the power through his blood and your testimony. These two witnesses, they had the power and they were killed. But don't think that their life ended. I'm talking about their earthly life. Everything on earth will end and there will be no earthly kingdom someday. And Peter said there will be new heavens and even a new earth. So if you think that by supporting the environmental movement, you can keep this old planet going a few billion more years, well, you're just stupid. Actually, you're a heathen. You don't believe in the Word of God. And their dead bodies shall lie, it says in verse 8 of chapter 11 of Revelation, shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually, and isn't that the only thing that counts? It has a spiritual name, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where, now we're going to get the location. Now we're going to get an identity of this city. Elsewhere in Revelation, it's called Mystery Babylon the Great. It really controls the whole world. And here the two witnesses are lying dead. They've been killed by who? By the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, made war against them, overcame them. But he didn't overcome their master. Their master still sits on a throne, watching. Vigilant. He shall have his revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. They lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Where was Jesus crucified? Jerusalem. Actually, to be interesting about it, Jesus was crucified just outside the city walls, outside the city gate at Golgotha, the place of the skull, on a hill overlooking the city. Because the Bible had said no prophet can be put to death inside the city's walls, inside the city. They thought that by killing him outside the city, just outside the wall, in the suburbs, we might say today, they would be escaping their punishment. Superstitious. It's bad to kill a prophet in the city. We'll take him just outside and crucify him. Nevertheless, that city is credited with his death. They were who killed him. Stephen said that. You Jews, killed our Lord. I'm sorry if the Jews don't like that. I'm sorry if they got Mel Gibson to change a few things in his movie, The Passion of Christ. But they'll never change this Bible, and it will remain forever as a witness against them. Where our Lord was crucified. Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem has a greater connotation than just the city limits anyway. I want to talk to you today about the rise of 21st century Sodom and Egypt. That's the last days. Kingdom of Satan. Sodom and Egypt. Its capital may be Jerusalem. Earthly Jerusalem, but listen, its tentacles spread everywhere. Verse 9 says, after the two witnesses are killed in the city where our Lord was crucified, spiritually named Sodom and Egypt. It says, and the next verse says, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations. That's everybody. All of the races, all of the different language speaking people, all of the nations shall see their dead bodies. And they're going to be happy that God's people are dead. Verse 10 says, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. It'll be like Christmas, maybe 1,000 Christmases all at once. They'll be so happy. They'll send gifts to each other. Why? Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Do you know that when you preach the word of God, when you tell the truth, when you witness of Jesus, you torment a sinner? And they either repent or they hate you. Some hate you and then they repent. Others just, their consciences become seared over and they have no feelings except of hatred toward you. Because it's you who torment them. The truth torments the liars, the killers. They're of their father, the devil, the father of lies. They don't want to hear the truth. It torments them. It tortures them. Because they're guilty. Unfortunately, friends, there are people today, and I mean at the lead of the so-called Christian church. I don't call it the church, it's the establishment. It's most people who call themselves Christians. They make up the establishment. But they have left the true gospel because they're looking for an earthly kingdom. And maybe even one earthly race to lead it. No wonder Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some, he says, that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And they're leading you off into another gospel. And today I'm going to talk more about that other gospel. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They act like they're the apostles. And no marvel. Paul said, don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing, said Paul, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're false apostles, deceitful workers. They come disguised as angels of light, but God knows their works and their end shall be according to those same works. And when will these people come to do their most damage? Right at the end of time. 1 Timothy says, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And they have followers. They have false sheep. They're black sheep, but you can't tell their color. They look like they're white sheep of the light, but their hearts are dark. I receive letters all the time from people that ask me questions like this. Here's a man that said he's been investigating his genealogy, and he thinks he may be a Jew from his genealogy. And he says, I'm sort of concerned about this. Maybe I'm the seed of Abraham. And it really will mean a great difference in my life to know. Can you tell me how I can study more in the genealogical area? He asked me. He thinks he might be a Hebrew. It'll change his life. Then another person wrote to me and says, "Dear Tex, please don't say anything bad about the Jews anymore like you're doing. They are still and will always be God's chosen people. Brother, please understand." He's worried about a race. He's worried about an earthly nation. I've told you before, recently I received a letter from a man that says, "Tex, you're all wet about the Jewish question. In our church, we exalt the nation of Israel, and we exalt the Jewish people." The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." That means make alive. "Are you a dead man?" He said, "Well, no, I have pinkness in my skin, or maybe blackness or brown if you're a different color. But you feel alive. Yeah, you're still thinking. You still have consciousness. You still view the things of this world." We're not talking about that. We're talking about alive. Alive. Awake. Sober. Spiritually seeing things with a different set of eyes. And Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," that makes alive. "The flesh profiteth nothing." Oh, well, but the Hebrews, surely they're... "The flesh profiteth nothing." Doesn't do you one bit of good, whatever race you are. Oh, well, you don't understand, Tex. My heritage is the Aryan race. My heritage is the great tribe. Baloney! You're going to have a different body someday, if you know Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, somebody asked me, actually it was, they were asking me because a ministry leader down in Florida had said, "Tex Mars is teaching that Jews cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And I found that really humorous, since I also teach that Gentiles cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Neither Jews nor Gentiles can enter the kingdom of heaven. Their flesh cannot get them to heaven. It's worthless. It's nothing. It's going to go back to dust. And I'm being accused of saying that Jews can't enter the kingdom of heaven. That's right. You've got to be the seed of Abraham. Oh, well, then he was Jewish. Oh, really? See, you're confusing the things of God with the things of this world. Abraham was of God through faith. He became one with God. And what is God? Some people say, "Well, he's Jew too." Boy, you've really got it mixed up. Some say, "Well, Jesus is in a Jewish body. He's a Jew." If the flesh profiteth nothing, let me tell you today, dear friends, Jesus profiteth a man everything. He's not in the flesh. Even Jesus himself revealed a mystery to his disciples and to Nicodemus. He says, "God is a spirit. And to worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth." Everybody keeps trying to bring God back down to man's size to make him a fleshly creature and to exalt a certain race or whatever. It doesn't work in God's kingdom. He's on a completely different plane than you're thinking about, if that's what you're thinking about. Now, when we come back, I'm going to name some names of Judaizers and others who are preaching a false kingdom. They're bringing a false kingdom. And it's going to be a killer kingdom. It's going to be a bloody thing. And if you become a citizen of that earthly kingdom that these Judaizers want you to become a member of, you've left the realm of God's kingdom. You're in big trouble. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, dear friends. Tex Mars. You know, a while back I did a video called Cauldron of Abaddon. It caused a lot of controversy. It's the true story of Israel today. What kind of place is Israel? And more than that, what kind of people are the Jews today? I believe very strongly that if you don't have the Word of God, if you don't have the one who wrote the Word of God, Jesus Christ, in your life, you cannot have a civilization that's healthy and well. That's a cardinal rule, and that rule is proven in the example of the nation of Israel today. What nation is the most wicked on earth today? Well, I know the United States seems to be the teacher of evil for this entire planet. But that might be because of the 5.5 million Jews who reside here, because they are the chief teachers. Wow. And then you visit Israel and you find out, if you've got spiritual eyes, how very wicked that place is. Did you know that Jews run the pornographic empire? The XXX rated movies are put out by Jews. Las Vegas, the gambling empires of this planet, the casinos, are owned by Jews. The biggest filth in this world is being accomplished by Jews. And it's Jews who have set up the ACLU, the ADL, and the other Antichrist organizations that have been attempting to take the Ten Commandments off the wall of schools, to take prayer out of public life, to take manger scenes, every vestige of Jesus from our city halls and our public squares. It's the Jews. Why? It's because they don't have Christ Jesus. It's because they rejected God. And now, I prove in this video, Cauldron of Abaddon, that Israel has become the moral cesspool of the world. Sex slaves. Prostitution. Is it Sodom? Absolutely. In fact, the homosexuals of this planet are planning to have a great, great big festival in the city of Jerusalem. No wonder God called Israel, that is, physical, earthly Israel, Sodom and Egypt in the last days. It is proven in this video, Cauldron of Abaddon. Cauldron, in other words, of the devil. That Israel is indeed the prophesied Sodom and Egypt for the last days. Get the video. Look for yourself. See if what I'm telling you is true. $25 for the video. Please include $4 for shipping and handling. $29. Ask for Cauldron of Abaddon. Call us here at Power of Prophecy. We're open 8 to 5 Central Time, Monday through Friday. Our number, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also write to us, ask for Cauldron of Abaddon, the video. Please specify now whether you want DVD or the old VHS. We've got both. VHS video format or DVD. Make sure you let us know, or we'll send you VHS, okay? Now, our address here is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And by the way, I want to thank each of you who have been so generous to give tithes and love gifts to this ministry. We can keep this message going around the world. And it's even more remarkable to me because I've reminded you over and over again that we're not some government-approved, tax-exempt organization. You don't get a tax deduction. when you give to this ministry. But after all, isn't it true that God knows how to reward His own? The Bible says, He is the Good Shepherd. John 10 says not only that Christ Jesus is the Good Shepherd, but He knows His sheep. And they won't answer to the call of anyone but Him. He's the door, and they go in and out of His pleasant pasture. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the 21st century empire of Antichrist being built today. And God has a spiritual name for its capital city. It's called Sodom and Egypt. And also Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the world. Many write to me and say, but Tex, the kingdom of God will someday be physical, earthly Israel. Oh my, my. Jesus said this, refute this, you kingdom builders, you Judaizers, refute this. Matthew 21 verse 43, Jesus boldly announced to the Jews, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. What nation on earth is bringing forth the fruits of Jesus Christ today? Can you name it? The United Nations has almost 200 in its number. Which of those nations is that nation which Jesus Christ says is given the kingdom? Oh, you're actually trying to name one? Have you picked it out? Is it Canada? Is it Brazil? Is it Italy? He took it from Israel, the nation of Israel. He took it from the Jews and He gave it to another nation. He said, therefore, the kingdom of God is taken from you. They haven't got it. Who's got it? Can you see? Are you looking? Are you too double-minded to understand? Who, what citizens can we believe are citizens of that nation which are bringing forth the fruits? The nation would have to have Jesus. There are no fruits. Everything perisheth that doesn't have Christ Jesus, because He gives life. Remember, the Spirit quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Who is it that can quickeneth, that can make alive? Jesus. Who is it that is a citizen of that nation that is alive? Those who have Jesus. Now there are other kingdoms, I'll admit that. And I know who is the master of those kingdoms. His name is Satan. You say, Tex, that cannot be. Certainly, Satan cannot be kingdom of the nation of Israel where the Jews have their capital, Jerusalem. You're mistaken, dear friends. Because Jesus Himself, when He came to this earth in the flesh as Emmanuel, God with us, was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness. And He was tested by the devil. Oh, my friends, all of us at one time or another are tested by the devil. And He took Him up unto an exceedingly high mountain. And He showed Him all the kingdoms of the world. How many? All. All except the nation of Israel? No, all of them. And the glory of them. Boy, they're glorious. Turn on your TVs and watch those travelogues. Oh, what glory some of the nations of earth have. The United States, its national parks, its beautiful mountains from New York to California, its fabulous flowing streams, its beautiful woods and forests, the glory of them all and the huge skyscrapers and cities of the world. And the devil said unto him, that is unto Jesus, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Evidently, the devil had him to give. He knew Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew he couldn't get away with a lie. He said, these are mine, and I'll give them to you. Of course, I'll be the bigger God. You'll be like the smaller God, because you'll have to worship me. What was Jesus' answer? Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. It's already been written what we are to do as Christians. When Satan says, I'll give you this or that, in his temptations, it's already written what you and I are to do. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Well, what did the devil do? Did he sit there and try to argue a little bit? Did he say, well, now let's just dialogue. Let's see if we can come together. Can't we maybe compromise a little bit? Let's talk about this. We're both men. Men are spirits of goodwill. You have your good points. I have mine. I'm not all bad. It's recorded in the Bible, dear friends. The devil didn't say one more word to him. It says, then the devil leaveth him. James says in the Bible that we are to put our faith in God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A 3-step process, not 12 steps, like the Alcoholics Anonymous people tell you. 3 steps. Submit to God. Resist the devil. That's the 2 steps you've got to do. And he'll do the third one. And what is that third one? He'll run away frightened. Won't want anything to do with you, dear friend. Can a nation on earth be pleasing enough that Jesus will want to reside there and make his throne there? The devil already offered him all the kingdoms. The Jews wanted him to be their king. He could have had the kingdom of the Jews. But listen to what he says. Isaiah chapter 66. What does God want? What place does he want to reside? Do you think he is so puny? He owns billions, trillions, gazillions of planets and stars and galaxies and cosmos, and you want to degrade him to being king of some little place in the Middle East, even of this planet? Are you kidding me? Thus saith the Lord, chapter 66. And maybe you know it's chapter 66 on purpose, because God's going to set people straight here. He says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. It's not good enough for a kingdom or a throne for God. It's his footstool. It's lowly. It's like nothing to God. It's his footstool. Heaven is his throne. And then he makes fun. He mocks these people that are going to, they think they're going to build a kingdom. You see, many Christians today say, well, I'm not like Napoleon and Caesar and all of them. I want to build a kingdom for God. I want God to come down to earth and rule. He doesn't want to come down here and rule. He's ruling everything already. You can't observe his kingdom. It doesn't come with observation. So God mocks him. He says, where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. What kingdom has God built then? What use has he of earth? Do you know something, friends? Verse 2, he actually reveals all that he wants on this planet. Let me tell you what it is. He's already said the heaven is my throne. The earth is nothing but my footstool. You can't build a house to make me happy. Don't try to rebuild the temple. There's no place I'll find rest here. I've already made all those things. I'm in charge of everything. But what does he want then? What does he want of us? It says here, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. All of the kingdoms, Jesus says, I don't want them. I don't need those things. Get away from me, devil. And the devil went prancing off, probably trembling like crazy. Boy, he tried his best. It got nowhere with God. Jesus said, it is written. And now God says, you can't build me any place on earth I'll be happy at. I already own them anyway. You think you could build it for me? I'll tell you all I want of earth, out of all of the earth, out of all the kingdoms. Here's all I want. I'm looking for a man, a certain sort of man. Even him that is poor and of a contrite spirit who trembles at my word. That's all God wants from us. That's all he's going to take from us. And then he's going to destroy all the rest. They say there's many industrial processes in which the very fine thing they're looking for, the diamond or the laser ruby or whatever, comes forth. And there may be tons of waste materials. But only that fine item is worthwhile. And Jesus suggested that when he talked about himself and the kingdom being the pearl of great price. You go to the whole ocean and you find, you know, the oyster or whatever. And you break it open and you find that wonderful, precious, valuable pearl. And you throw away the rest. And you keep that pearl of great price. God is looking not for a kingdom on earth. He's looking for people who recognize the value of the pearl. A great price. In the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 5, Paul talking about biological or physical Israel, the earthly nation of Israel, that belongs to the devil, not to God. Remember, there's an Israel of God, and that's all the people of every race who believe in him. Because Galatians 3 verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the eternal covenant. Not the covenant of the law. Jesus himself is that covenant of rest, the haven of rest. Paul said this, he says, he's kept for those, kept for himself those who love and obey him. He foreknew them, it says in Romans chapter 11. Imagine that, that's his people. He called them his people. He foreknew them. They love and obey him. And so therefore he has kept them for himself. Romans 11 verse 4. They are the remnant, he says, according to God's grace, his election. Romans 11 verse 5. And then he goes on to explain, but what about Israel? What about the nation of Israel? What about biological Jews? If you could prove that the present day inhabitants of Israel, that the 5.5 million people in America who identify themselves as Jews also, if they could prove that they are of the Israelite race, have they then been fortunate enough to be chosen by God? Paul says that which Israel, that's biological Israel, is seeking for, it has not obtained. They wanted a kingdom. They wanted a king on this earth, and they didn't get it. That which Israel is seeking for, it has not obtained. It went so far as not even being able to recognize their own king, and they killed him. Put him on a cross. And a sign was placed over him on that cross, King of the Jews. And they complained about it to Pilate. Take that sign down. He's not our king. Pilate said, it's there and it's going to stay. I'm paraphrasing him. What is written is written. Paul said, that which Israel, that's physical Israel, is seeking for, it is not obtained. But those who were chosen obtained it. Wow. Jesus told the Jews, I'm taking the kingdom of God from you and giving it to another nation, another people, who will have the fruits. They'll obtain the kingdom. They're my chosen. They're my remnant. They're my elect. I foreknew them. I'm keeping them for myself. They know me. They recognize the value of the pearl of great price, is what he was saying. And they'll come to live with me because they're people of the Spirit. They don't care about their flesh. In fact, it says in Revelation, they love not their lives unto the death. Imagine. And yet, we have the Judaizers today. I was recently reading a magazine, Midnight Call. It's put out by a Judaizer teacher named Arno Froese. One of the writers in it is a man named Tommy Ice. I know Tommy Ice personally. He's just a big Zionist Judaizer. And he defined Christian Zionism in Midnight Call magazine, November 2003. He said, I am a Christian Zionist. And what is Zionism? You may be interested in knowing. What a man who is considered one of America's greatest teachers on Zionism, dispensationalism, on promoting Judaism and the Jews in America, although he claims to be Christian. He says Zionism, this is his quote now from Tommy Ice, Zionism is simply the desire for the Jewish people to occupy the land of Israel. And he says Christian Zionists are Christians who advocate this belief. There it is. That's their religion. That's their goal. That's what they believe in. That's Christian Zionism. Zionism is simply the desire for the Jewish people to occupy the land of Israel. A little space of land in Israel. And Christian Zionists are Christians who advocate this belief. That's all they want. They want more land. They're idolaters. This is the heresy of Jabez. And you know what? This is such a popular heresy. A book about Jabez and what he said in the Old Testament became a number one New York Times bestseller several years ago. What did Jabez say? I want more land. I want to enlarge my territory. In the Old Testament, Dan was given the tribe of Dan, and Dan was given a certain piece of land. But they weren't happy. All of the other 11 tribes were happy, but the 12th tribe, Dan, was not happy. He said, I want more land. And he went out and took it by conquest. You know, they were all given an emblem or an ensign. Do you know what his ensign was? The serpent. The tribe of Judah had the lion, but Dan got the serpent. He wanted land. They want this world and the things in it. That's what the Judaizers, John Hagee, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, James Dobson, that's what they want. And they'll kill to get it. They'll kill the Lebanese people. They'll kill the Palestinians. And Jesus said they'll kill you and think they do God service. They're friends with the world. They're in love with the world. They want the world and what it has to offer. But the Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. You see, a true Christian would say, what I want, what my heart's desire is, this is what Paul said. He said, yes, I'm a Jew racially. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, but my heart's desire is that they come to know Jesus. Tommy Ice, he's friends with Tim LaHaye and all the other big shots. What does Tommy Ice and the Judaizers like Hagee say? All I want is for Israel to have the land, to possess the land right here on earth. They don't evangelize the Jews. They don't tell them about Jesus. They're going to go to hell forever, the Jews are, while the Christians are sitting around saying, I want you to have that land. I'll help you kill to get it. If we have to send nuclear bombs and blow up Iran, says John Hagee, by golly, we're going to have that land for Israel. And yet the Bible says, listen to this, 1 John chapter 2, friendship. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. This is Tommy Ice. This is Tim LaHaye. This is Billy Graham, Franklin Graham. All the others, James Dobson, Pat Robertson, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You are the enemy of God. The enemy of God. Zionism is the enemy of God. Build up Sodom and Egypt. See where it gets you. As for you, my dear friends listening to me, I beg you to build up the kingdom of God. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is inside of you. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been talking about the rise of the 21st century, Sodom and Egypt, here on earth. I pray, dear friends, you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.